Poet and activist Nikki Giovanni was the writer-in-residence for Shepherd University's 2015 Appalachian Heritage Festival. Giovanni was born in Knoxville, Tennessee in 1943, but spent most of her early years in Cincinnati, Ohio. Today, Giovanni lives in Virginia and is a professor at Virginia Tech. While growing up, Giovanni experienced segregation and became active in the civil rights movement. She also has a great love for Appalachia.
I'm Nikki Giovanni. I'm a poet. Knoxville, Tennessee. I always liked summer best. You can eat fresh corn from Daddy's garden, and okra and greens and cabbage, and lots of barbecue and buttermilk and homemade ice cream at the church picnic, and listen to gospel music outside at the church homecoming, and go to the mountains with your grandmother, and go barefooted and be warm all the time, not only when you go to bed and sleep. I'm a Knoxvillian by birth, and I spent most of my summers with my grandmother, and then I actually moved in with my grandparents, so yeah, I love this.
I love that poem, too. And can you talk a little bit about, in terms of Appalachia, how does this poem mean to you?
I just love it because, you know, there was always a garden. You always had something that your parents were growing, and I grew up being used to or having gardens, and of course, I grew up also cooking with my grandmother. And grandmother would, you know, we'd go out and pick a tomato or go out and pick some peppers or, you know, we'd always have something that we were putting from the garden into the food that we were actually eating.
So we don't have your poem, When God Made Mountains, to recite, but could you talk a little bit about it? And if you remember any specific parts of it that stick out to you, if you could just talk a little bit about that poem.
Well, I'm actually a history major. So I've always been interested in how things evolve. And in thinking about West Virginia particularly, we cannot look at the history of the United States without recognizing the importance of West Virginia seceding from Virginia. The Civil War would have been an entirely different affair if the Union had lost control of these mountains, and we know that. And when God made mountains, I wanted to deal with why he was deciding to do that, aside from fresh water and stuff. He had to make a place, and of course you can't talk about the United States without talking about runaway slaves. And without these mountains, you know, this was the one place, West Virginia, what became West Virginia, was the one place that a runaway slave, let's say you were coming up Alabama, you could come up and you could follow the water, and you could follow the water north. And in following the water north, you're going to get up here. These are going to be the people who are not going to turn you in. They're not going to turn you back. They're not going to sell you back. They're going to say, welcome.
What are some of your observations of race relations and civil rights in the Appalachian region compared to the rest of the country? And if you can give some similarities and some contrasts.
I think historically, Appalachians have been friends to freedom. And I think we can show that. And we show it through some things that are really quite easy. We show it through the banjo, because the banjo is endemic to West Africa. And so the only way that anybody in Appalachia can play a banjo that knows the banjo is that Africans or those who were enslaved and escaping came up here. We know things like okra, you know, came from Africa. And of course, I live in Virginia. I teach at Virginia Tech. And Virginia prides itself on being the peanut capital of the world. Well, peanuts are West African. And so whatever Virginia has learned about peanuts, they learned that through the people they enslaved. So we have a communication, and the communication has been good. We can look at how we dress, and we can look at how we dance. I think that if I may, the white Americans in Appalachia here in West Virginia in these mountains have been a friend to freedom. And I think that it's time we celebrate it.
Continuing with kind of the idea of with civil rights and activism and race relations, looking at today with kind of the things that have been going on, police brutality, the Black Lives Matter movement, and the debate over the Confederate flag, and much more. Can you share some of your thoughts on what's going on today in our country?
Well, clearly, some of it's sad. I have never understood the reason that policemen need guns. I still don't. And I, you know, the crooks will do whatever. But you don't need power and authority. Nobody does. And I have disliked the idea of policemen having guns because they already have authority. And somebody could call in and say, well, you know, Nikki, if the cops don't have guns, somebody will shoot them. But if the cops don't have guns, then the citizens will protect them. There's no question about that. And when we start to look at the inner cities particularly, we know, or we should know, that one of the things we want is we want the policemen, or the police people, I should say, to have a partner. We know that we don't want just the white policemen to be out there, a couple of them, and then they're shooting people for no reason. Everybody's upset. We want a white and a black. We want a man and a woman. We want a continual mix of who these people are, and as I said, we want them to be without guns. The Confederate flag is a segregationist flag. What is being called the Confederate flag came up actually as a response to the civil rights, which shows both stupidity about who we are as a nation and who we are as a people.
Do you think, compared to when you started in the civil rights movement back in the 60s, how do you feel about of today, what's going on today, to what you were working on back then?
Life is always about the going forward. And you can't compare what we did 100 years ago, what we did 50 years ago, and how we're doing it. You have to say, are we approaching, are we engaged in the questions of our time? And are we working, if not to the best of our ability, to some of our ability to try to solve it? Mm-hmm. I think that has to be dealt with. I'm a big fan of Black Lives Matter because a lot of people have been casual about Black lives. So one lady up in Connecticut said white lives matter too, but nobody said that it didn't. That we've been casual about what happens with Black kids and with Black people. We can look at our prisons and see we have just too many people in prison.
In your speech at Shepherd University, you had mentioned Appalachian happiness is very important. And I wanted to ask you to explore that a little bit more and tell me why you feel that way.
Well, the thing that I admire, I don't know if the term is going to be most, but certainly way at the top of my list, is I admire the fact that you stand for freedom. And I admire the fact that we in Appalachia, and I'm going to include myself in that, have a concept of enough. And that's a concept that we are going to have to actually be able to share and spread across this country, because right now nobody has an idea of enough, which is why people are really being crazy to say, I want to be a billionaire. But actually, $1 million is enough, mm-hmm. maybe even something lower than that. But we in Appalachia have an idea of enough, mm-hmm. that this is, I'm satisfied, I'm pleased, I have a family, I have a decent house, I'm warm, you know, whatever it is, we have a concept of enough. And that idea that Appalachia brings to us, and Appalachia brings it to our country, that idea is what has to permeate America.
Thank you so much, Nikki. This interview has been wonderful.
Thank you.